But come on up, Larry, and bless us with the word today. I know it will be good.
Good morning. Good to be back with y'all, except I don't recognize some faces. So who's never heard me preach before? Let me see your hands. I've been attending this church longer than you have. Yeah. Started coming back a couple years ago. Hallelujah. Anyway, those of you that don't know me, I was born and raised in Tampa, Florida. Lived there for 27 years. I was a beach bum. Couldn't find a beach bunny, so I went to Colorado and found a snow bunny. Married her 36 years ago, and my daughter, who is almost 24 years old, is here today. Rachel, stand up. This is my daughter. She surprised me because she's actually over the children's church at her church in Locust Grove. And since she had everybody assigned doing their duties, she didn't have to do anything, so she slipped down to see Dad and surprised me on my birthday. So I'm 63 years young. I'm so thrilled. Glory to God. God is good all the time. Amen. So it's good to be back with y'all. I'm really expecting some things. Liz sends her love. She had some things that she had to take care of, so she wasn't able to be with us for these couple days. But I'm just real excited. I got to share a testimony because Pastor asked me to share this. How many of you like to win souls? Hopefully every hand would go up on that one. But pretend, even if you don't, okay? So, because the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise, right? Last year, about a year ago this month, we were in prayer with our staff, and we were asking the Lord in our prayer, Lord, give us the heathen for our inheritance. You know that's a scripture, right? So we were just praying, Lord, show us a creative way to get people born again, saved. There's got to be ways that we can reach them besides just walking out on the streets. And so a couple weeks later, God dropped an idea in my IT guy's head, and he came to me and he said, I think we're supposed to start advertising on Google to get souls saved. And I said, that's what we've been praying about. Let's do it. So we set up a website, a separate website, and all this website is salvation prayer. And then my IT guy knew how to get our keywords in there so that when people searching how to get saved, things like that, we would be one of the first ones that they would see on the first page. Well, the first week that we put up our website, we got 8 people saved. This is from Google now, okay? So people just searching how to get saved or different things like that. And the second week, we got 12 people saved. The third week, we got 22 people saved. Within 3 months, we had over 2,000 people get saved. Woo! Glory to God. And so what we did is we were just having a hard time ourselves believing this was real. We're really reaching people because we found out of the 2,000, the majority of them did not go to church. So in other words, they're not coming through our doors to hear us, our pastors and stuff, right? And so we sent a message to the hierarchy of Google and asked them, please let us know. We know that nationwide hundreds of millions of people use Google every month, but we want to know out of those hundreds of millions, how many people actually search Google how to get saved? They sent us a message back and said 33,000 people per month search Google on how to get saved. We had no idea, but God told us in prayer how to do it. And so guess what? We're coming up on a year. Next month will be a year that we started advertising. We've now had over 30,000 people come to our website and read the salvation prayer. Woo! Glory to God. So I tell you that, Pastor wanted me to share that with you just because, you know, people, like at the end of the service, Pastor receives a love offering for our ministry, and when people ask, so how much can I give for per soul? I ask my IT guy, I said, so how much did it actually cost us to get the website up and reach a soul? One soul gets saved. How much did that cost us? I said, not, you know, we're sending out product. We're helping mentor them. We're helping them find churches. So that all cost a lot of money. But just the initial contact, how much? And he said it cost $1 per soul. So I said, so when I tell people if they give $1, they're going to get one soul credited to their account. Yep, you tell people if they want 100, 100, 1,000, whatever they want accredited to their account. So that's what I'm going to ask you to pray about when you do give, whether it's this morning, tonight, or tomorrow night in our ministry. Just pray about, Lord, what amount can I sow to help Larry Hutton Ministries reach more souls? And we will use every penny for that. And, of course, like I tell people, you know, if we get more than that, than we need to reach those souls, then we're going to reach more souls. You know what I mean by that? We're going to reach souls unsaved and saved. There's a lot of saved souls that are hurting and that need God. Amen? And so that's what we're going to be doing. All right, so open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 13. We'll get right into it today. Thank you so much, Pastor Trey and Shannon. You guys are just, we love your pastors. You guys are so blessed here with the pastors God sent you. So wonderful. Just honored to be their friends, even if he beats me in golf. Hallelujah. All right, so we're going to go to, where did I tell you? Proverbs 13. Okay, make sure you're paying attention there. Proverbs chapter 13. And let's look at verse number 18, Proverbs 13, 18. I got specific direction when I was in prayer a few weeks ago for you about you guys, because, you know, when I go to a church, I don't pull out some canned sermon. I ask the Lord, Lord, you know who's going to be there. You know what they need to hear. I can teach. I'm a Bible teacher. I can teach on a lot of different subjects. There are a couple of areas that I specialize in. But Lord, what do you want me to teach on? And he took me to this passage of scripture and then to the next one. And then I knew which direction we would be going for these three services. So Proverbs 13, 18, I want you to notice it says, poverty and shame shall be to him who refuses instruction, but he that accepts that reproof shall be honored. So poverty and shame shall come to those who refuse to be instructed by God. In other words, we hear the Bible, but we don't accept it. God said, here's the fruit you're going to get, poverty and shame. How many of you want more poverty and shame in your life? Wow, a church full of smart people, no takers here. All right, so poverty and shame come to those who refuse instruction. The word shame actually means confusion, dishonor, and disgrace. That's what's going to come when people reject. They think they're going to do it their way. They think, you know, the Bible says there is a way that seems right to man, but it's not going to end in blessing, is it? The Bible says it ends in cursing and ruin and destruction and ultimately death. So poverty and shame come to those who refuse instruction, but he that regards reproof shall be honored. He that regards reproof, or in other words, he that accepts the instruction from God's word will be honored. Now, I looked up the Hebrew word honored here. And there's three definitions in the Hebrew. First of all, to promote to honor. In other words, people giving you honor, whether it's employees or neighbors or family members, different people, they're going to honor you. The second one is to be promoted to honor, to be rich financially, and to overcome, basically to win whenever you face tests and trials and hardships. The literal Hebrew says prevail. So I thought about that one definition, prevail. I thought, okay, so prevail means when I come against tests and trials and hardships and problems in life, I'm going to prevail over them. They're not going to prevail over me. I thought, man, that just that one definition of the Hebrew word right here, honored, that's worth listening to God's word and obeying it. But then I thought, but it's also going to cause me to be an honorable person, people to honor me, but it's also going to cause me to be rich financially, which means financially free. That went against everything I heard growing up in church, because I was taught growing up in church, God didn't want you rich, because if you're rich, then riches would have you, and then you wouldn't serve God. But then he had me study out the life of Abraham, and it totally dethroned that devil theology, because God's the one that created all the gold, the silver, the cattle on a thousand hills. And why would God create something for his kids and then tell them, now kids, I created this for you, but it's going to destroy you. No, that's not a good father. That's not a good God. God wouldn't do that. He made Abraham rich. And Abraham, in fact, if you study out the amount of wealth Abraham had in today's standard, would be a multi-billionaire. And yet he walked so close with God that God called him his friend. He said, that's my buddy, Abraham. And so that's when I started seeing, wait a minute, Abraham had lots of possessions, lots of material wealth, lots of riches, and yet he still walked close with God. So the stuff and the wealth and riches didn't separate his walk. It actually enhanced his walk because Abraham used it for God's glory. So I thought, okay, Lord, then I'm going to accept your instruction, and I shall be promoted to honor. I will prevail over everything in life that tries to overcome me, and I will be rich, financially free in my life, because that's what you promised. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
All right, so go to Mark chapter 4. What we're going to do, these series, the Lord's really been dealing with me. Of course, he dealt with my wife and I a number of years ago to get out of debt, pay off our home, pay off our ministry, pay off everything, get all out of debt, and be able to give more into churches, be able to give more into missionaries, be able to give more into good TV preachers and radio preachers, just be able to promote the kingdom more to get the word of God out. And so the Lord really started dealing with me recently, and even for these meetings, about how he's looking for givers. God is looking for givers. And in fact, there's the gift of giving in the Bible in Corinthians, and in order to operate in that gift, you have to be financially free. Well, I should say, in order to operate that gift, you have to be financially free on the inside, and then it'll happen on the outside. If you don't get a hold of God's word, you got to accept the instruction for the outward manifestations of honor and overcoming things and being financially free. All of that comes as a understanding, knowing truth, right, Pastor? Not just hearing truth, but knowing truth is what makes us free. So we're going to be going over the way God does things here. We're not talking about the way God does things in heaven. You'll find about all that when you get there. But down here on earth, he has set up a way for his children to operate financially, and it is not in poverty or lack. God wants his people free financially. We had a lady, an 81-year-old lady, come to our meeting in Pennsylvania and hear me teach on this subject, and she was on welfare. She had lost both of her husbands. The first husband, the longest she'd been married to, the longest, he died of a disease, and then the second husband, he also died of disease, and it was a shorter marriage because he didn't last real long. But both husbands had died, and here's the sad part: she had two kids, and both of them had died, so she had no living relatives on the earth. It was this her by herself, 81, lived in this little shack, and got a welfare check every month, and she heard about how to put God first in your finances. Start tithing, start giving to God, and let God be Lord of your money. If you actually call him Lord, then let him be. And she started tithing, she started giving. For those of you that might not know, the word tithing just means the first 10% of your income. She would get that little welfare check, which wasn't even enough to meet her own needs. And so she realized that, you know what, I heard what Brother Hutton taught, and you know what, I got to start putting God first, so then God has a million and one ways he can bring money to me that I've never thought of. And so she started doing that, and she said for a couple of months I was tithing and giving, and it didn't seem like anything was happening. But she said the next thing I knew, I woke up one morning, walked out on my porch, and my whole porch was filled with sacks of groceries and household items. Hundreds of dollars of stuff. She said, I'd never had that happen before in my life. She said, but now I'm tithing and making Jesus Lord of my money, and so I'm watching him work. And she said, then a couple weeks later, I came to church. Somebody walked up to me that I'd never met before. They gave me a Pentecostal handshake. How many of you know what a Pentecostal handshake? You know, when somebody transfers money from their hand to yours with a handshake. And she said, man, it was a wad of money. She said, man, I got home and she said, I just thanked the Lord and I blessed the Lord. In fact, I decided, you know what, I'm tithing 10%, but I'm giving offerings above the 10%. Now that I'm getting blessed, I'm just going to increase my offerings. So she even gave more. And then a couple months later, she woke up one morning and God dropped an idea into her head. And the idea, she turned into an invention. And 2 years later, my wife and I went back to that church, not knowing that she had gone from a poverty welfare lady, 81 years old. Now she's 83 and a multimillionaire. So don't tell me it's too late. Don't tell me you're too old, too young, too whatever. You can have all the excuses you want. God said you would be honored, you would prevail in life, and you would be rich, and there was no age restriction on that verse. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good now, okay? All right, so he says, let's start here in Mark chapter 4, verse 26. See how God's kingdom works here. Verse 26, Mark 4, 26. So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and go to sleep and get up day and night. The seed starts growing up. He doesn't even know how. For the earth, verse 28 says, brings forth fruit of herself. First comes the blade, then comes the ear, and after that, the harvest time, full corn in the ear. Verse 29, when the fruit is brought forth, he immediately puts in the sickle because it's harvest time. Notice verse 26, so is the kingdom of God. So is the kingdom of God. The phrase kingdom of God in the Greek, it means this. The literal Greek says the entire sphere of God's rule and action in relation to the world. Simply put, it's the way God rules here on the earth, or the way God does things. So when you see the kingdom of God, it's talking about the way God has set up things for you and me who are part of his kingdom. We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, right? We're now in the kingdom, but God has set up a way for you and I to operate. So when he says, come out from among them, we're not operating the way the world operates anymore. We're now operating the way the kingdom of God operates. He says, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. So when I started seeing this, I thought, okay, wait a minute. God says he set up the kingdom here on the earth for you and I to operate. And he said it operates according to just like a farmer that plants seed and then gets harvest. So then that got me thinking, all right, so the whole kingdom of God, notice it says so is the kingdom of God. It doesn't say so is part of the kingdom or so is some of the kingdom. It says so is the kingdom, telling me that all the kingdom of God and the way God rules here on the earth operates by seed time and harvest. Everybody say seed time and harvest.
Seed time and harvest.
Say it again, seed time and harvest.
Seed time and harvest.
Also known as sowing and or giving and receiving, so it's different scriptures will say it differently. But here, Mark says seed time and harvest is the way God set up the whole kingdom. So then that made me think, if God set up the kingdom this way, then every aspect of the kingdom or every area of our lives has to operate by seed time and harvest, whether it's spiritually, physically, financially, maritally, whatever. When you sow, you're going to get harvest. That's what God's telling us here. And so that also made me think this. That made me think, if God set up the kingdom for you and I to operate, then he himself has to operate by this system. Think about it. Because it's the kingdom of who? So if it's the kingdom of God, then God himself has to operate by seed time and harvest. In fact, hold your place because I'm going to come back here, but go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, and I want to get down to verse 23, but let's start in verse 18. 1 Peter 1:18 says, you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your vain manner of life received by tradition of your fathers, but you were redeemed, verse 19 says, with the precious blood of Jesus as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Then it tells us how we were born again. By the word of who? The word of God. And Jesus, we know, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. Then he took on flesh, and his name is called what? Jesus. So being born again, not of corruptible what?
Seed.
So notice the word of God is called seed. Jesus was a seed. He was the word of God in the beginning, and God had to plant Jesus in order to get you and me as harvest. Doesn't seem very fair, does it? He planted the best, got us. But God's the one that set the system up, and he always says throughout Scripture that harvest is even better than seed. And here's why. Because Jesus, before he went to the cross, was called the only begotten Son of God. After the cross, Scripture after Scripture says he is the first begotten. Means you and I are now sons of God. So God planted one and got many in return. Glory to God. But I wanted you to see that this whole kingdom, this is the spiritual aspect of the kingdom, is the Word of God had to be planted or get harvest. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want to read verse 6. Let's start reading in verse 4, 1 Corinthians 3, 4. And Paul is writing to the Corinthian church here, and he says, some of you say that I am of Paul. Others say I am of Apollos. He says, aren't you just being carnal? Verse 5, who then is Paul and who is Apollos but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? Then Paul makes this statement in verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. What is it that Paul planted? Everywhere he went, he preached the word. He preached what God had to say. So people heard the word, and it got planted. Apollos came along behind Paul and taught and was watering the word that was planted. But notice, the word had to be planted. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but who gave the increase? God gave the increase. So then God's letting us know that spiritually speaking, the way he set up his system is the word of God is the seed that has to be planted in order to get increase in your life, no matter what area of your life. So go back to Mark chapter 4. So is the kingdom of God. Everybody said, so is the kingdom of God. Everybody say, the kingdom of God operates by seed time and harvest. So I'm thinking about that, and I'm thinking, well, then if it operates by seed time and harvest, then that has to be so with our bodies, the physical part of our man, right? I mean, whatever you plant all the time, you know, if you plant Oreo cookies and ice cream all the time, you're not going to get a good harvest physically. Amen. You can't be planting junk and expect blessing harvest. Now, I love Oreo cookies and ice cream. You can ask my daughter. We used to have Oreo cookie dunking parties together. So, you can't plant bad stuff in your body and expect to get good health out of it. I remember one time I was teaching on seed time and harvest in the financial area, and I was out with another minister, and this minister, he said, you know, I know you teach that God wants us to give in order to get harvest, he said, but, you know, he said, I'm under grace. He said, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to tithe. I don't have to give. I'm in the New Testament, New Covenant. I'm under grace. I don't have to do any of those things. And all of a sudden, the Lord dropped in me an illustration to give this young minister. And I said, let me ask you a question. I said, I noticed the food that you're eating. You're eating real healthy, it looks like, all the food. And he had had some real physical issues years earlier before that. And so he did a lot of study and learned about nutrition, different things, started eating healthy, and it really helped his physical health. I said, I noticed you're eating real healthy. He said, oh, yeah. And he told me about learning how to eat right and all that stuff. And I said, well, let me ask you this. I said, you're in the new covenant under grace. Why do you have to do anything? I said, why not just eat junk? Why don't you just eat junk and let God take care of you? You're under grace. And I saw light come to his eyes, revelation come. You know, you can reject truth or you can accept it. But he accepted, and I believe it helped him when he understood God set up his whole system, seed time and harvest. If you want a good marriage, you better be planting good seeds in your marriage. You better be speaking well of your spouse, not despairingly, not making her or him the brunt of jokes. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good. Amen. Everything that we do on this earth, God says, operates on seed time and harvest. That's one reason that I walk in health the way I do. I've been attacked by so many different things through the years, but I refuse to allow them to stay in my body because I understand, okay, there's the natural side. I eat healthy most of the time, but I do have desserts at least once a week. But most of the time I'm eating healthy. But then there's the spiritual side. I've got to make sure that I'm planting the Word of God in me so that I get harvest of health. And so whenever I feel pains in my body, joints or something trying to act up, I say, no, you're not welcome in my body. The Word of God says, and I plant more seed or I water the seed, and God always brings the increase of health. I've had tumors attack. I've had joint pains and arthritis trying to attack and all kinds of things trying to attack my body, but I refuse to accept them. When I read in my Bible, it's in your Bible too, but I read in my Bible that at 120 years old, Moses was strong and healthy with perfect eyesight. I thought, now wait a minute, he is not going to outdo me. And somebody says, well, who do you think you are, better than Moses? Oh yeah, I have it a lot better off than Moses did. He wasn't even born again. Amen. Didn't have the greater one living on the inside of him, was under the old covenant before Jesus went to the cross. You and I have it better than Moses, better than Abraham, better than all the old covenant prophets. Amen. And if you don't believe it, read Hebrews and you'll find out. Amen. So I said, no, I'm not having physical problems. And if Jesus tarries and at 120, I'm still going to have perfect eyesight. I'm still going to have perfect health in my body. In fact, then I went on reading and found other Jehoiada, the high priest at 130, and different ones at 137, different ones that lived even longer than Moses with perfect health. And I thought, man, they're not going to outdo me. Mm-mm. I'm going to be an example in all areas of my life for the Lord Jesus Christ, because what he did at the cross is more powerful than anything Satan does on the earth. Amen. I'm going to say that again. What Jesus did at the cross is more powerful than anything Satan does on the earth. That's good news, isn't it? Praise God. And if we apply, of course, it takes faith. You have to apply God's grace by faith. But if you apply faith in the Word of God, you're going to be honored, you're going to prevail in life, and you're going to be financially free. God said so, right? All right, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. So then I started realizing, okay, so then this is how I'm going to become financially free. I still had hundreds of thousands of debt on my ministry building, over $100,000 on my home, cars, different things like that. And yet my wife and I said, okay, we're going to give our way out of debt. We're going to start giving more. We're going to tithe, but we're going to keep giving, and we're going to keep giving. In fact, you can ask Rachel. When she was two, she won't remember this far back, but when she was two, my wife and I started putting dollar bills in her hand every time we went to church. And we told her, don't ever go to church without sowing into God's kingdom. We just wanted her to have that spirit of giving because we knew it was causing us to become financially free. We wanted her to get a hold of that spirit of giving as well. And so we just continued to do that through the years, and miracles. God, you know, told us we'd buy a house and fix it up and sell it. We did that with several houses. We buy and sell vehicles. We buy and sell art. We just bought and sold different things as the Spirit of God led us, because that's how God brings harvest. God doesn't drop money out of heaven. He doesn't cause a $100 bill tree to grow in your backyard. He causes people, through the hands of people, to bring the blessings, whether it's ideas or favors or investment opportunities or whatever, God is going to show you. I had one lady, she sat in one of my financial freedom seminars. I got to do a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night financial freedom seminar. She came up to me a year or two later, 2 years later, when I went back to the church. I wasn't doing another financial freedom, I was teaching on another subject. But she came up to me, she said, oh, Brother Larry, she said, I took what you taught, and I started buying and selling on eBay. I said, really? She said, yeah, because I know about some different things, so I just zeroed in on those few things. She said, I don't sell a lot of different things, just a few things that I zeroed in on. She said, this last year I made six-figure income. Over $100,000. She said, I spend 3 to 4 hours a day is all I work. 3 to 4 hours a day, she scours looking for good deals on eBay. She buys them and turns around and sells them, and she made over $100,000 in her spare time. Because she said, I'm a tither and I'm given, and the more blessings come, I keep giving more, and then God opens more opportunity for more blessings. Here's the deal, folks. God has a million and one ways that you and I have never even thought of yet to bring money to us if we'll obey in tithing and giving, putting God first. In other words, making him Lord. Listen, he's a better Lord than you and I are. You know, when I take him off the throne and put myself up there, I'm in charge. I'm only going to be able to do what I'm smart enough to do on my own. When I put him up there, whoo, the Bible says there's no searching in his understanding. He knows it all. He knows where all the money is because he created it all, and he has a million and one ways to get it to us. I'll use Rachel again as an example. When Rachel was, I don't know how old you were, Rachel, you might know, 16 or 17 or something, but we were in another state, and I'm going to show you these, you know, I just said a million and one ways that we've never thought of. Let me just give you this example. So we're in another state preaching. We did a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, and on Tuesday morning, we're getting ready to go to the airport, packing up in the hotel, and I get a phone call, and it's a guy, he happens to own a roofing company, and he was on the rooftop that Tuesday morning when we're in the hotel packing to get ready to go to the airport. He's on the rooftop at 7 a.m. doing a roofing job, and all of a sudden he hears the Lord say, go to the preacher's hotel and give Rachel a check. Not give Larry a check, give his daughter a check. But see, Rachel was a tither and a giver. And so God was wanting to show her something, how I can do it in ways you'll never even imagine. And so this roofer comes to our hotel, calls me up and says, hey, can I come to your hotel? God told me to bring your daughter some money. I said, come on, bring it. And so we went down the lobby, all three of us went down the lobby, and he hands my daughter a $5,000 check. I asked Rachel later, I said, Rachel, would you have ever thought in a million years that God would speak to a roofer on the rooftop on a Tuesday morning to come to your hotel and bring you $5,000? She said, no, Daddy, I'd never thought of that. I said, I wouldn't either. I said, that's one of the million and one ways God has. He only has a million left. He just used one. But to show you how lordship, listen, becoming financially wealthy and rich and stuff isn't about you, it's about God. The whole purpose that is kingdom-minded, so is the kingdom of God. We need to be kingdom-minded, and if we are, then we get to pay off our homes and have the nice homes, have the nice cars and pay things, be out of debt. That's just a byproduct. But God has to be Lord. He has to be first place in our life. So I'll close that illustration with when we got back up to the room when she had the $5,000. Here's the first words out of Rachel's mouth when we got back up to our room. Daddy, Mommy, guess what? She's all excited. We said, what, honey? She said, when we get home, I get to tithe $500. She said, I get to give more than most adults do. That just blessed my wife and I so much to see that, and that explained to us why she just got blessed, because she had a heart. The first thing she thought when blessing come, give to God. Isn't that cool? So is the kingdom of God. Now listen to this. Here's what's really interesting about this. It puts us all on the same playing field, all on the same level. It doesn't matter what education you have. It doesn't matter what marital status you are. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter anything. What matters is, do you know how to plant a seed? And here's what's cool about seed time and harvest is it's no respecter of persons. The Lord spoke to me when I was studying this out years ago. He said, the world system is respecter of persons. It's, you know, you get the better job, and then you make more money, and you know, step on people's heads as you climb the ladder, and just look out for yourself, and you can become financially free. And so that's a respecter of persons system. If that was God's system, then he would be a respecter of persons. If God was picking and choosing jobs, and that was his way of bringing financial freedom into our lives, then he'd be a respecter of persons, because the doctor's going to make a lot more than the desk clerk, and the Walmart manager's going to make a whole lot more than the checkout clerk, and the principal's going to make a lot more than the teacher, and that would be respecter of persons. But God said, that's not my system. My system, like me, my word is no respecter of persons. If my word is what makes the kingdom of God operate, seed time and harvest, then it cannot be a respecter of persons. So think about this. Think about when you plant a seed, no matter who you are, doesn't matter skin color, education, nationality, marital status, you put the seed in the ground. Have you ever seen the seed stick its head back up through the ground to see who planted it, determining whether they should bring harvest or not? Well, let me see if you're a single mother with kids, because there's no way I could bless you. Well, let me see if you live in Macon, Georgia, because I sure couldn't bless you. Well, let me see if you're retired, because if you're retired, that's way too big for God. Well, let me see how much education you have. Let me see which side of the tracks you were born on. No, God lives on both sides of the tracks. Amen. Did you hear me? No, the seed never, ever cares who plants it. Ever. The seed just wants the ground. Because when the seed makes contact with the ground has the power. And we read that in this passage right here. The earth brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn. In other words, God's saying, my system, just like the earth is set up, the earth knows how to take the seed and the germination process and cause it to come forth in a big harvest. And harvest is always a lot more than the seed that was planted. He said, listen, my kingdom is set up the same way. I know how to take the seed. You don't have to know how. That just thrills me, because it doesn't matter how smart I am. All I know is I'm smart enough to keep planting seed. And so my wife and I keep getting wealthier every year. We paid off all the debt at Larry Hutt Ministries. We paid off our mortgage on our house. We have no debt, no credit card debt, no vehicle debt. We have no debt whatsoever. And we keep upping the ante in our giving. We keep getting to give more. And I've just started carrying money to, like yesterday I saw this guy and I just handed him $100. I said, God told me to give this to you. Another lady, $20, gave $20 to her. Just to bless people, but I always say something about Jesus when I do. They're going to hear about Jesus because he's the word. And I'm going to plant that seed in them when they get blessed. But I'm convinced these last days it's going to take you and me being faithful in our giving so that we can become wealthier and reach those hundreds of thousands out there that'll never come to our church, but we've got to reach them some way. That's why we're doing TV still. I know some of y'all have messaged us and say you watch our program on YouTube, or you watch it on Roku television, or however you watch on our Facebook page. We put our TV program out in different ways. But we're reaching people that way. For example, we had a couple just come to our meeting up in Ridgely, Tennessee, about a month and a half ago. And they go to the First Baptist Church of Memphis. And the wife had stage 4 cancer, given up weeks to live, according to the doctors. The husband had stage 3 cancer, given months to live by the doctors, and so both of them had the death knell. Both of them, medical science says there's nothing we can do. You only have this long to live. Well, they started watching our TV program, and I just happened to do a whole series on the subject of healing out of the Bible, just showing people it is God's will to heal everybody. Even if you don't know it, let me show it in the Bible. It's not my opinion, not my idea. Just let me show you what God says in the Bible. And they saw it in the Bible, and then they ordered. How many of you have my Heaven's Health Food CD? The Heaven's Health Food CD. A few of you do. They ordered that CD. That, for those of you who don't know, that's a CD where I don't preach or teach. All I do is quote scriptures out of the Bible on healing and health. Well, we've had people healed of just about every type of cancer while listening to that CD. We've had AIDS healed. We've had all kinds of hepatitis and all kinds of diseases, all kinds of stuff healed. Anyway, this couple, stage 3 and stage 4 cancer, right? So they start hearing all my teaching. They listen to that CD. They both get totally healed without any medical help. No chemotherapy, no nothing, no radiation, nothing. They got no help from the doctors. They just went to the Word of God. They planted seed, and they got harvest of health. Then they came to us 6 months after they got healed to our meeting up in Ridgely, Tennessee, just a month and a half ago. They came to our meeting, stood before us, gave us their testimony, and they said, "We just want you to know we started watching your TV program on YouTube. We didn't know who you are or anything, but we started watching you, and we were just mesmerized by the Word of God, the Word of God. We were hearing things we just never heard in our lives, and we saw it's in the Bible, and we believed it. We started planting that seed, and we got a harvest of health, and we're here to testify that we thank God for you, and we want to be partners, monthly partners with your ministry." Isn't that awesome? That's a testimony of God's Word. Listen, this will work in every area. But I'm trying to fix and to close here, you know, trying to wind down. So here's the whole point that God wanted me to get to for this morning. Is when I was studying this, so is the kingdom of God. Look at it again, Mark chapter 4. So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed in the ground. Then, of course, he goes to bed, gets up. You know, that means harvest doesn't come immediately. And then harvest comes. So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. And then here's what the Lord spoke to me that threw me for a loop. He said, "Larry, money is not seed." I said, "Yes, it." I started arguing with him. I said, "Yes, it is. Money is too seed. We plant. We talk. We preachers do that all the time. Everybody talks about, oh yeah, money seed. You got to put that seed in the ground, get a harvest of money." He said, "Money is not seed. Just go plant a $100 bill in your backyard and see what you get." And I thought he was being real funny. I thought, "Oh, come on, Lord, don't be silly. I know if I plant a $100 bill, I'm not going to get a $100 bill tree. I understand." He said, "Why?" I said, "What do you mean, why?" He said, "Because money's not seed. There is no DNA in money to produce anything. You could lay $100 million or $100,000 right here on the platform, and if you leave it there, don't do anything with it, it won't produce anything. There's no seed value in money. That's why you can't plant a car and get a car, plant a house and get a house, plant a pair of clothes and get some clothes. Can't do it. There's no seed value in it." He said, "What you have done," then he started rebuking me. He said, "What you have done as a minister, you have taken verse 26 out of context." Oh, now that hurt. Because I consider myself a word person, a Bible teacher, and you know, I always emphasize, make sure you rightly divide the word, meaning in context, what is he saying? He said, "If you would have read this in context, you would have known what I said in verse 14, and then you would know what the seed is." Well, back up to verse 14, what does it say? The sower sows some money. What does he sow? The sower sows some finances. The sower sows some clothes. The sower sows what?
The word.
I didn't hear you.
The word.
The word. The sower sows the word. He said, "Here's the problem when people let go of their money and they don't sow the word, all they are is droppers, not sowers." And this is what I'd done for many years. I'd let money go out of my hand, but I never sowed. Remember Paul said we preached, we spoke the word of God. That's how you sow the word. He said we let the word of God. We spoke the word of God. And I realized all those years I let money go out of my hand, but I never sowed. The sower sows the word, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed in the ground. The only way money becomes of DNA with seed value is when we sow the word in it. So when we let go of the money, God said, here's what I do. When you let go of the money, but you sow my word, then I inject your money with my DNA. Now it becomes kingdom seed. Now it will produce a harvest for you. This made a huge difference in our lives, folks, when we started doing this. We saw more blessings come. This is what helped us get out of debt and everything, is all of a sudden we started speaking what the word says over our finances. If you're always speaking death over your finances, well, we never have enough. You know, every time we get a little extra saved up, some storm comes along, a rainy day comes, and we have to use our rainy day fund and a lot more besides. You know, we just never get ahead. We're always going under. You know, we'll never get out of debt. Well, if you keep sowing those kind of seeds, you're going to get those kind of harvest. But if you start saying, Father God, I thank you, I promote you and honor you and glorify you with my tithe and offering, so shall my bank accounts be filled with plenty and everything I put my hand to blessed and prosperous. Thank you, Father God, all grace is abounding to me, that I have all sufficiency and all things can abound to every good work. And you're speaking what the word says. Thank you, Lord God, you pray and will above all things that I prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. If you're saying what the word says over your finances, guess what? God injects his DNA into that money. Now it's kingdom seed. And kingdom seed can produce kingdom results. In other words, now I've got God working on harvest instead of me just doing what I can do. I'm telling you, this is going to change your next 12 months. This is going to be huge the next 12 months for you when you start doing this. Every time, whether you're tithing, whether you're giving, every time you come to church, or if you have partnerships where you're sending out part, every time, make sure you speak the word over that money, because otherwise it's money with no DNA and it brings no harvest. This explains why so many people have come up to me in my financial freedom seminars and say, I've been giving and 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 still have, I'm still not financially free. I said, okay, you've been given, but have you been sowing? Well, yeah, that's the same thing. I said, no, it's not. Have you been sowing? Have you been sowing? Or have you just been dropping? I was a dropper for years, folks, and never got harvest. When I started sowing, that's when harvest started coming. So I'm going to encourage my family, because we're going to pick up here tonight. There's so much more here that it's going to really help you and bless you. But I'm going to encourage my family here, those of you that I haven't met that are new, that this is your first time hearing me. If you saw it in the Bible, I didn't preach anything that's my opinion this morning. All I did was just show you what God said. So if you'll accept instruction, what did Proverbs say? Wisdom spoke, right? If you'll accept instruction, you will become an honored person, you will prevail over everything that tries to defeat you in life, and you will be rich financially. God promises that. So I want to encourage you, be a sower from now on, not a dropper. Even when pastor receives a love offering for us this morning or tonight or whatever, and especially when you're giving, you know, the extra money towards souls or whatever you do, don't just drop it, sow it. Make sure you're sowing. Some people say, well, Brother Larry, I really don't know much scripture about giving and finance and stuff. I said, go get my little, whatever, $12 CD, whatever it costs back there. Get the Heaven's Wealth Food CD, because that's not a teaching either. It's just me quoting scriptures on wealth and finance and prosperity and increase. Get those scriptures, the Word of God, in your heart so that they'll come out of your mouth. And then every single time that you sow, every single time you let money go out of your hand, you make sure you sow out of your mouth. And then you watch. Next 12 months will be the best 12 months of your life. Come on. How many of you believe that? Well, that shows me then that you're accepting instruction this morning. Father, I pray for my family now. I pray for all of us, Lord. Lord, that I'm so inspired to pray that we would not just be hearers only, but Lord, we would be doers, putting you first, making you Lord of our finances. Not for us, Lord. The big picture is about your kingdom. Yes, we'll be blessed financially. Yes, we'll have the nice things of life. But Lord, it's so much bigger and more than that. It's about others. It's about reaching people and about changing lives and causing the kingdom of God to grow in the earth. And so, Lord, we pray that every one of us would continue to do this. We would increase, Lord, even every little blessing that comes our way. We pray, Lord, that you would just inspire us to increase our giving. Lord, the more that comes, we're going to be faithful with. You said, he that's faithful in that which is least will be faithful in much. So, Lord, we're going to be faithful. We know you're faithful, Lord, but we know that you're going to count us as faithful as well. And, Lord, I pray if anyone within the sound of my voice, whether it's listening to the recording or whether it's come into this building in person, if there's somebody here that's not accepted Jesus, let them know today is the day of salvation. Right now is the accepted time. And so, Lord, I pray if there's anybody within the sound of my voice here or listening to the recording that's not saved, just let them know how easy it is to receive Jesus. The Bible said, whoever calls on Jesus shall be saved. It's not hard, Lord. It's easy, and today's their day.